Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Corinthians, please. I've spoken about this passage before, but as I was reading through it this last time, I came to a conclusion that we have a tremendous responsibility as Christians. We have a responsibility of comfort, and that's the title of the message this morning, The Responsibility of Comfort. I'm not talking about that you have a responsibility to go to Lazy Boy and get yourself a leather recliner and lay down in that thing, although that is comfortable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I enjoy looking for that every night when I go home. I enjoy sitting in my big fat leather chair and just sitting my big fat self in it. So I just have a good time with that. Praise the Lord. But that's not the comfort that I'm talking about today. I'm talking about supplying comfort to other folks. If you could be honest with yourself, I believe that there was a time in your life that you needed some. You'd be honest with yourself. I believe there was some times in your life where you were given some. And we as Christians, I believe, fall short in this, the responsibility of it. So I want you to read with me very quickly. Let's all stand together. If you like spaghetti, stand up. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Let's pray this morning. Brother John Black, lead us in prayer, please. Please. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If I read this correctly, there's a few things that I can make some statements about. The Bible makes them for me. I'm just going to try to rehearse them in your ears. The first statement is very simple. We will have tribulation. There are times, I'm talking about the tribulation, I'm talking about daily tribulation, daily sufferings, daily things that we go through. You will have them. You can't get away from it. The Bible talks about who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That means to you and me that we will have some. I don't believe that you can go very far back in your history without finding some place that you had trouble. I don't believe it would be very difficult for me to say that you've probably had troubles very recently. And if you haven't had them recently, be very careful, they're probably on their way. We will have trouble throughout our entire lives. There's never a time that we will not have trouble or they will not be on the horizon. Your life is going to be full of those things. The Bible says, man's days are short and full of trouble. You will have them. Boy, this is depressing, isn't it? It's sad, and you're thinking in your heart, man, I'm glad I came to church this morning. He's telling me I'm about to get in trouble. I don't want to hear about that at all. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear something uplifting. Well, praise the Lord, right after you will have tribulation, you will have good times too. I can make that statement on the authority of the Word of God because I know that I know that I know that you don't even realize that times are bad if all the times are bad. They're just all the times. You're not going to have all good times until we get to heaven. It's going to take you a long time to praise God enough for there being no sin in heaven. Can you imagine? Can you imagine no sin in heaven? If your clothes don't match, nobody's going to notice. I'm going to praise God for that right off the bat. Listen, if I'm not married, I come to you with unmatched clothes every day. My wife gives me the once-over before I come out in public. She does, because if I don't come out, honey, you look stupid. And I do. I just can't tell it. I don't have that capability. Isn't it going to be nice in heaven when nobody's talking about what you're doing? Huh? Isn't it even nicer in heaven when you won't be doing the things that they're talking about? Amen. You know when you get the maddest? Is when somebody calls you out because of what you're doing and you're doing it. It's not so bad when they call you out and you're not doing it, although that's bad. But you be honest. It's bad when you're doing it. Because when you're doing it, then you try to sin some more. What do you mean, preacher? You try to justify that, what you're doing. They caught you in a bar. Well, that's not where you're supposed to be. And then they call you out on it. Well, I wasn't in there for that. I was just making a phone call. Everybody in the whole wide world has a phone right now. You get an 8-year-old, stop him. He's got a phone. He shouldn't have a phone, but he's got a phone. Praise the Lord. But understand this. Isn't heaven going to be wonderful? Isn't heaven going to be a wonderful place? We don't even know what that's going to be like. That's why you can't wrap your mind around it. Forget the streets of gold. Forget the walls of precious gemstones, although how wonderful is that? Forget the fact that the sun is never going to go away. We never get it. We're not going to know what to do with ourselves. Forget that there's no meatloaf. Forget all those things. Forget all those things. How about there's no sin? How about the tears are gone? How about there's no more funerals? How about there's no more goodbyes? The sin is gone in heaven. But while we're here, boy, there sure is enough of it, isn't there? Not necessarily even what you're doing. Although we're all sinners, aren't we? I mean, can't you be honest with me a little bit? Aren't we all sinners? Don't we all mess up? I mean, I get tired of listening to preachers talk about how great they are and how they never mess up and they never sin, leading their people to believe that there's a life that they can lead that's sinless. I was in Cedarville College, and I'm not proud of that, but I was down there. And Jerry Falwell came through. Everybody knows who Jerry Falwell is. Oh, Jerry Falwell. Everything he says must be right. He came through, and I'm sitting there sleeping in the service. I mean, I was in the service, like many of you are now. I was in the service. And he made a statement. It's never left me. I don't remember anything else he said, but I do remember this. He said, since I was 17 years old, I've never sinned. And I, out of my comatose-like sleep, I went, you just did sin. Broke your streak. See, I'm going to let you know this. And this has nothing to do with anything except this. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples for one reason. To show them that he was their servant. Preachers are your servant. We should be the servants of the church. We should be the ones that are the servants. We should be the ones letting you know that we're sinners. We should be the ones willing to admit our faults and frailties. You should be the ones that don't hold us to them. No, yes, you have every right. Preachers are held to a higher responsibility. There's things that we ought not do. But at the end of the day, we're still sinners. And there's things that we're held up higher to, where much is given, much is required. I know that preaching, but at the very same time, I need to let you know that you can sin and still have a great life for Christ. You better be able to, because we're all sinners. Well, you're going liberal, preacher. Listen, I preach against sin, I believe, pretty hard. And I know you ought not do that. But your life doesn't end when you do. It ought to change. Your life ought to change. You ought to want to not sin. Don't use your liberality in sin to be able to just go out and sin, do whatever you want to do. Paul implores you not to sin. The Lord asks you, please, do your best to live a good and holy and godly life. You ought to want to do that. I mean, good Lord, you ought to want to do that. Christ went to the cross for us. Christ died for us. Don't you think? See, don't do it because the preacher's yelling at you. People get, you come to, bro, preacher, you yell too much. Bring earplugs. I only know one way to preach. This is it. I get excited when I preach. Not all preachers are the same, and I'm glad for every one of them. But this is the way I do. And at the end of the day, I want you to know that sin is wrong. And you know what the sin is. We don't have to stand up here and shout from the rooftops what the sin is. You know what the sin is. I mean, come on. Don't sit there and get on Facebook come telling me it's not sinful what you're doing. Don't tell me that the gossip session you just had about Sister Mary Watson-Fuss was right. I get that every day. There's nothing wrong with it. It is a powerful tool. But it's amazing. I've got a powerful tool called a hammer. If I hit Bobby in the head with it, it was wrong. It was a tool used for wrong. Don't preach on that anymore, preacher. You just asked me to preach for an hour on that very subject. You got to figure out how I tick quick, okay? You got to figure it out. Because I know, hey, whatever. I know preachers all across America are giving up on it. They're getting on Facebook themselves. Not this preacher. Not that preacher. You know why? Because you talk bad about me on there. I don't want to see it. You say that's not true. I was on it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. All I saw was people. I had to justify myself on Facebook to people. I'm not going to spend my time worrying about that. I'm not going to spend my time on there. And by the way, I don't need you to go on Facebook and justify me to people. Let me tell you something, right? I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a dirty, rotten dog. So what? Let me tell you something. I got to serve God. I got to get in my Bible. I got things I got to do for the Lord. I'm not worried about what people are saying. Say it. You look like an idiot. Right? I'll never forget. And by the way, none of this is in this message. Aren't you glad? They attack him all the time. Well, it comes with the territory. That's what happens. You preach the truth, you get attacked. It's just the way it works. See, he gets attacked all the time. He never worries about any of it. He never worries about any of it. Do you know what it lets me know? It lets me know that those people that are attacking preachers are not right. The Bible says, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophet no harm. And you may think, well, I'm just standing on this. I'm a preacher. You know what? Hey, take it up with the Lord. Take it up with the Lord. If the preacher's doing wrong, ask God why. Come after him if you want to, but aren't you taking a risk? Sin is in this world. Sin is in this world, and it's getting more and more rampant all the time. The preachers see it in the church houses. They watch their members get involved in it. They watch their members leave Facebook off. Just talk about sin now. We watch member after member after member get involved in sin. And we cry about it and we shout about it. Let me tell you something. Preachers have counseling meetings. I love this thought, and this is a by and by kind of thought here. You think preachers just do this? We have ministry is every day, all day. There's never a time that the ministry stops. We cry with the people because of what they're going through. We cry with them. And let me tell you something. It's not easy. It's not easy being a Christian at all. But I'm telling you, talk to preachers. Preachers never tell you because they think, well, you're just going to worry and, oh, woe is me type attitude, well, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you, it's not easy. That's why it has to be a calling. Right. You've got to blame God for it. Because if you try to do it in your own strength, I preached about that this morning. You try to be a preacher in your own strength, you'll never make it. You'll never make it because people are mean. Everywhere you go,
Not just, well, your church is just full of hypocritical people.
So are you. You fit in. Come on. Huh? See, we live in a world of sin. A world of where people are full of sin. But at the very same time, how wonderful is it to see God's blessings? We know how good God's blessings are because we've seen how bad sin can be. In my life, I was a drunkard. How good is God that I'm preaching to you today used to be a drunkard. I'm still a sinner, but I'm not hampered by that anymore. And I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful. Don't you get involved in alcohol. You think alcohol, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Don't come to me with, I'll take a little wine for my stomach's sake. You ain't take a little wine ever. Amen. It's first glass, second glass, third glass. You didn't drink it when you were sick, but you drank it and you got sick. See, what's amazing to me is sin is in the world, and how wonderful is it when God does something great in your life? I don't know why he gives us a tribulation. I don't know. But I do know this. He will get you through it. But you have to, and it's easy words. I got nothing going on in my life adverse right now. When things are going adverse, I preach really hard then, but when things are going adverse, it's hard to say how wonderful God is. Be honest with me, Christian. It's hard to say thank you, God, when things are going bad. Now, come on, come on. It's hard to hit your thumb with the hammer and say, God bless me. Oh, God is so good, and the blessing's doubling all the time. Wow, thank you, God. You might mention God, but it's got a bad word coming right after it. And whatever, we're the same in the simple fact that we are being humans. We have those things come in our life. But when God does something incredible in your life, how great is it? I'm going to use Coolidge again because I just had such a wonderful miracle happen in my life just recently. We were walking out, soul winning. You've heard this story. Praise the Lord. We're walking out soul winning, and I'm seeing these whirly birds come down out of the air. I said, good Lord, I hate them things. Plug up my gutters. And you said it too. Plug up my gutters. Good night. I don't know what in the world. I don't want the tree that they're going to make. I got trees. I don't want the tree that those dumb things are going to make. I don't need to. And Coolidge stops and says, man, isn't God good? I said, what you mean, brother? He said, well, look at how he replenishes the earth. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't like people like you. So I get new gutters put on my, and praise the Lord, it is wonderful and amazing how God does those things. But here I am, praising God about the whirly birds. I get new gutters on the side of my house. They were on my house for 2 weeks, and I'm on a ladder, cleaning out my gutters, filled with, you guessed it, whirly birds. So, yeah, you sent me some in a card. I appreciated that. That's the second card I've burned with a match. First one was the meatloaf card, then this one. Anyways, I didn't burn with a match, praise the Lord. So this is what I do. I've praised God long enough about the whirly birds. I had a tree company come out. They took down my two trees in the front. I no longer have a whirly bird problem. Hey, God made tree cutters too. I'm having t-shirts made. Anyways, so we can agree that tribulations are going to come. We can also agree that good times are going to come. We can also agree that we're going to have wondrous times. You lead somebody to Christ, what a great thing that is. You have great days in church, what a great day that is. You have bad times, but you also have good times. How many can say amen to those things? We will have, during the bad times, consolation. Consolation may not come quickly. Don't act like a microwave Christian where you're going through a bad time and you expect God to repay you today. See, sometimes you go through the bad times, you're coming out on the other side, and your consolation doesn't come right away. but it will come. Sometimes a consolation does come quickly, and sometimes it comes quickly, and it's amazing how wonderful it is. You see God, and you say, man, how wonderful that is. Sometimes people have those times, and you ask, why didn't mine come quickly? You ever done that? Boy, I must be hitting home today. You ever done that where somebody else had their answer? You still don't have yours. You know what, God does not work on your timetable. He works on His. Difficult. Let me tell you, it's difficult. It's easy to preach, hard to live. I understand that. I'm just letting you know the truth right now. It's hard to live this, but this is the God's honest truth. I don't know how long your troubles are going to last, but I do know this. God will take you through them. You may be different if you come out. You may be different. It'll be better for you if you let God take control, though. You may come out different. See, this Bible's going to teach you something today. If you just hang with me, you have a responsibility, and I want to give you that responsibility because it's a very big responsibility, one that we miss a lot. I think we miss a lot. And as we're looking through this, we know that we're going to have bad times. We know that we're going to have good times. We know the Bible teaches us that our consolation is coming. No need to pout. It's coming. No need to get mad. It's coming. It is coming. Tough to do. Tough to live. But it is possible. Amen? Because God is that good. Amen? Is He not that good that He doesn't leave you in the bad times forever? Because God has every right to do that. God could put you in a place that's bad all the time. He could. But He doesn't. That's how merciful He is. Always mercy. His mercy endureth forever. There's always a time, and you may not feel that, Christian, but if you would rewind your life just a little bit, it won't take you long to get back when you had a blessing. Won't take you long. Why do we cling to the past so much? Let's say when it comes to our preacher, how the Lord brought him back. Glory to God, we need to cling to that because that's when God did a miracle. Because God did it. Who else are you going to blame? Amen? I feel bad we didn't take the Bible in there earlier and anoint him with oil earlier. Because, man, what if God would have done it right then? Here we are anointing him with oil. The next day he gets off the respirator. Isn't God good? He looks down at us. Why'd you wait so long? Amen. You ever done that, Christian? Why are you waiting so long? Ask him. Do something. Go to God. You tried long enough to get yourself out. Let God get you out. Easy to preach. Hard to do. Amen? Number four. Be sure to understand that your tribulation is big. Now this is where I may step on some toes here. Let's use a child. If a child runs out of bubble gum, his life comes to an end. I'm just using that as an example, okay? You look at that problem, say, stupid, just go get another pack of bubble gum. Or shut up. Shut up and then get more gum. That sounds really great. Just shut up. Dude, tell your kids to shut up. Let me put a recorder in your house. I just admit it. But that is big to that child. I've always said this. I want you to be very careful when people around you have a problem that's not very big to you. Let a teenage girl have a breakup with a boyfriend. What happens? 2 weeks later, she's still falling off the end of the earth. Amen? That problem's not that big because you know that that's nothing. It's nothing. You've been through it. It's nothing. Amen? He's a pig. Guys are pigs. That's what happens, okay? You guys are dumb. All around. Shut up, Liz. All around. Here's the thing. You say that, but you married one. So here we go. And the tribulation came. But anyway, so, but that problem to them, and this is what you got to understand. Christian, you got to grip this. This is very important that you understand what I'm about to tell you. Your problem to you is big. Their problem to you may not be big, but to them it is big. It's very big. And as a Christian, you've got a responsibility to understand that other people, although you don't think it's big, to them it's everything. I've watched Christians do it, and I'm telling you, we are usually fairly bad at helping people. I've watched Christians go up, and Colton has no gas in his car. To you, that's nothing. To him, he's got not a dime on him. To him, he's got to get to work. To him, all this rolls around, no gas in his car, and you think, well, that's, get some gas. And you'll come, oh, you'll get through it, buddy. No problem. Instead of getting your wallet out, which I can't right now, getting your wallet out and saying, if you prayed about this, I must be the answer to that prayer. Huh? Because that problem's huge to him. It's everything. So you take out some money, which I'm not right now. Between you and I, you've got more than I do. I'm out of gas, buddy. But we as Christians, have you ever had the I'll pray for you syndrome? I want to hit people. You say, well, what's wrong with praying for somebody? If you've got the means to fill it, maybe God was using you to answer the prayer. Sometimes we miss it, don't we? I mean, don't we miss it sometimes? Don't we? Understand this. I want you to hear this over and over again. Just because that problem does not look monumental to you, it's monumental to them. And you need to treat it as it's monumental to you as well. Amen? And I'll tell you why. Because you are going to have a monumental problem. And to somebody else, it may not be monumental. But to you, it's everything. And you need God to work it out. And you need God to help you. And you're going to want that. You're going to want that consolation. You're going to want to see from somebody like Brother Carl that he too believes that your problem is big. You're going to want to see from somebody that's a Christian that you look up to that your problem too is big. We minimize, don't we? But we never minimize our own. Come on, God is good this morning. I'm driving javelins this morning, preacher. Don't we think that our problems are huge? What you're going through is nothing. You would love to be in a conversation with somebody that your problems were the biggest at the table. Oh, man. No, everybody, no more amens for you, jerk. Come on, be honest. You would love to be the one. Listen to the elderly's conversation. Do you want to have more diseases than the person next to you? Come on, you ever sat with them? And by the way, I'm getting to that age where I'm starting to talk that way. Health is the first concern. And you want to be the person that's got the biggest one. Why? To show off your big problem? No, but what we want to do is this. We want to minimize everyone else's issues. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. It'll help me if Brother Carl believes that what I'm going through is tough. Huh? It'll help me. Because I'll know that somebody else believes that I'm going to be better on the other side of it. Not easy to live. I'm not coming to you saying, well, you ought to change your life today to do that. But we have a giant responsibility, Christian. A giant responsibility. The Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Do you know what compassion is? I really believe this is true. Maybe I'm wrong, but I believe this is true. Compassion is coming to a realization that their problems are really big. Is that not true? Is that not the simplest thing you've ever heard? Compassion is simply believing that somebody else's problems are big. Right? Because if you believe their problems are big, in and of ourselves, I believe we have a desire to help, at least a little. We want to help. Isn't it good to know that somebody else out there is cheering for you? We spend so much time saying, I'll pray for you, brother. And prayer is huge. Please, I'm not minimizing prayer. Prayer is very important, but you shouldn't have to tell somebody that. You should have already been doing it. I'll pray for you, brother, about your gas. I'll pray for you, son. I know your tank is empty. I'm going to pray God fills it. When residing in my wallet is $150, which is about what it takes to fill a car today. That's a real big prayer you got to pray today. $20, what's $20 going to get you to Walmart? It's about it. You won't have any left for Walmart either. But if I say I'm going to pray for him, I've just minimized his problem. Say amen to me. I know you don't want to anymore, but you know I'm telling you truth. I've minimized his problem when I don't care. And then what's even worse, Brother Coolidge, we go home and we don't pray for him. You know why you don't pray for him? Because you minimize their problem. You want to have help bearing your burden? Do you want to have help? You don't know what everybody's going through. I tell you, that's the heaviest burden for preachers is knowing what you're going through. By the way, we need to. I never understand a person that won't tell what's going on in their life. Never understand that. I never understand why you don't want to open up to a preacher and have him pray for you. I never understand that. I know it's tough, but don't you want the man of God on your side here? We don't want to bother the preacher. You bother us when you don't. See, what you need, as a Christian, you need to understand tribulation's coming. You need to understand good times are coming too. But at the very same time, when we're in this together, and we are, we're in this together, you don't need to be out on an island unless that island is accompanied by a bunch of people who are cheering for you. Huh? As we look at these verses, it gives us a responsibility, nay, a commandment, I believe, that God is giving us because he helps us through these things. By the way, as we're here, you do not need to look for the reason the person's going through what they're going through. I'll just stay there for a minute. One of the biggest problems I have, and I know I'm not getting real excited this morning, I'm trying to help your life though, I'm trying to help you for helping me. I'm hoping that you'll cash this in someday with me. But understand this, I do not need to search for a reason that Brother Mike Sells went through his colon problems. I don't need to, well, Brother Sells, where were you sinning? You're such a, I won't say it here. I can't imagine Christians, and we do this. I had a person tell me, and I tell you right now, I wish I had that person standing right in front of me. I'd love to have one more chance to, yeah. My wife and I lost a baby, okay, third one. Not third baby we lost, third baby out of our children would have been our third. And we lost the baby. It's a horribly weird feeling. I can't even describe to you what it is. I had a person come to me and say, well, Pastor Dave, where have you been sinning that this might have happened? Because maybe God is doing, and I'm going to tell you right now, after vomiting, I can't even imagine doing that to another person. But Christian, hold on a second. We all say, how many times has somebody had a problem and your first thought is God judging them? Come on now, hold on a second. You better watch yourself here. Don't you sit on the amen bandwagon until you hear me out. We very seldom, what's the difference? Can you give me, what's the difference? What's the difference why he's out of gas? If you figure out why he's out of gas, does that fill his tank? Oh, I know how you're out of gas, because you're driving around foolishly. Wow, that just put gas in my tank. Thank you. You ever had a person give you the reason why you're doing something wrong and not help you fill the reason? Christian, be very careful what you do with your words and your life and your action. Because your pontification, you're adding your intellect to the situation. You and your pompousness are not fixing it. Let's work out the problem after you've helped to fulfill the answer. It's amazing to me how callous we can become as Christians, because there's going to be a day when I'm going to need gas. Wait a minute. Seriously, there's going to be a day when I'm going to need something. Maybe it's not gas. Maybe it's something else. And because I cared, because somebody else's problem was big to me, because I helped, God will have somebody waiting to help me. Simple teaching that's been throughout all the ages, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Christian, that's easily said, hard to live. If the devil's done one thing in the lives of Christians today, he's made them completely selfish. Aren't you glad you came to church today? If there's one thing he's done, he's convinced us that number one is who matters. Is that not true? Is it not true that that's the teaching throughout all the public today? Do whatever you feel is right. Have the freedom to do whatever you do. Whatever you do, we're all free here. Yeah, but freedom comes with a price. See, it's amazing to me how we minimize others' issues. And by the way, just because you minimize other people's issues does not keep you immune to other people minimizing yours. But you don't want that to happen now. Oh, wait a minute, I got a big problem. I got it. My problem's big, and they look at you. I've been through that. That's nothing. Why? That's the attitude you gave others. See, what's amazing to me is as we're looking at this responsibility that we have, we got to be under the absolute surety that we do not have to figure out why the problem is there. We don't have to figure out why they're going through what they're going through. We don't have to come up with a reason that we can give them so they can change their life until after it's fixed. See, here's the thing. I think you need to learn. I think, why did we have this hangover and wreck my car? Because you were drinking. Okay, you need to stop the drinking, but right now, let's get you out of the hospital. I'm telling you right now, preacher and I prayed over a boy that we didn't even know. And he wrecked because he was foolish and came across the line. It's horrible. And I know what he did was wrong. But you got to get him out of the hospital first. You got to pray him through that first. Once you get him through that, you can say, hey, son, you just might want to consider not passing somebody going up a hill. See, what you got to understand is this, Christian, your life is big to somebody. Your thoughts to them are big to somebody. Your compassion to them is big to somebody. And if you don't give it, if you don't afford it, what could happen to that somebody? I believe with all my heart, because of the preacher and I praying with that family and being with that boy, I believe that boy pulled through. I've never seen anything like it. Scary. And his wreck, he killed somebody. But we didn't stand over him and call him a murderer. We didn't stand over him and tell him how bad he was. We stood over him and prayed, God, please heal this boy. Please heal this boy. Get him through. Because he's going through a problem that's big. And we need to do what we can. Certainly we couldn't heal him up medically, but we could ask the great physician to come in. I'm not saying to ignore people's faults. I'm not saying to ignore the sin. What I'm saying is there's a time and place for that teaching. And sometimes that teaching is not necessary when they're going through their problem. Just a thought. We've got a great responsibility as Christians. A great responsibility that God has given us. And I want you to read this verse with me. I'm almost done. What is this responsibility? What is this thing that we're supposed to be doing? What is this thing that God has given us? If you look at these verses again, the Bible says in verse 4, let's go back to 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who's got the comfort? God does. You're not going to find it anywhere else. I'm just going to stop there 1 second. Stop looking on the internet. Stop looking at Tempur-Pedic. Stop looking at the alcohol. Stop looking at the drugs. Stop looking at everything else that you're looking at. You're going to find comfort where the Bible says that comfort is found in God. Only one that has it. He's the God of all of it. Is the Bible lying? What does the Bible say? The God of all comfort. Amen? Now, who comforteth us? God, I'm telling you, God is wonderful at this. And you may not have ever partaken in this, but I'm telling you right now, God can give you a peace that passes all understanding. Easy to preach, hard to live. But He can. You got to train yourself to ask him. Like I mentioned the yellow cake 85 times in Sunday school. God worked through somebody this morning, praise the Lord. You saw that my problem was big. Now the preacher's got a big problem because I'm in possession of the cake. Now understand, what is our responsibility? Who comforteth us in how many times? Oh, my soul, be very careful. When you see the word all, the Lord's getting real serious. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? He gives us a responsibility. Here's the responsibility. See, he gave you something. Aren't you glad? My wife, I'm just going to be more honest with you. I believe I can speak for my wife on it. We've never gotten over losing that baby. And you know what's funny? We never saw it, you know? And you wouldn't think that. And by the way, be careful you don't minimize stuff like this. The it happens all the time thing, that's horrible for you to say. Don't happen all the time to me. It's like I was in the hospital with AFib, heart going nuts. If you've ever had it, it's crazy. It's like your heart's going inside your body. It's like, oh my goodness, and you feel like you're dying. At least I did. I'm a wimp though. And I'm sitting there, and the doctor comes out. He says, oh, this is real common. Oh, thank you. I'll just go home then. It's not common to me. I'm having it. It's going on in my chest right now, and I don't like it. Well, we'll leave you sit out in the emergency room waiting room for 45 minutes. Maybe that'll be better for you. Yeah, I'll have a soda. The problem's huge to me. They minimized my problem. Did it help me? No. No. And I know that people go through these things, like my wife and I have. And people have lost children. I mean, children, grown-up children that I couldn't even imagine. I can't even imagine losing my babies. I can't even imagine it. I tell you, Job, what he went through, it almost, I tell you, preachers hammer on that wife all the time and the things that she said, but I got to be honest with you. You lose 10 babies in a day, you get upset. Pretty tough. I know what she said really was like the dagger in Job, but boy, I tell you, she was going through it. And what's amazing to me is this. We've never gotten over that problem, never. I mean, never. It's always in the, it's there. You know, you knew it. And it's something that we need help. I'm thankful I go to a church that wants to help people. I believe by and large, we want to help people. I believe by and large, we love each other. It's in us because we're human and in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's in us to minimize each other's problems. That's why it's hard to easy to preach but hard to live. Because in our flesh, we want to say, well, your problem's nothing. Why do you hear my problem? That's in our flesh. It really is. And what we do is we get everybody discouraged is what it does. Nobody wants to pull the rope now because everybody's got problems. And everybody does. Dr. Hiles always used to say, you want to fill your pews. Learn that people got problems. Love them. See, what's amazing is we look at this and we get this great responsibility. We get this responsibility given to us because God says, I will comfort you. I will give you that comfort when you're in any trouble. I will give you that comfort. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. It does not give you the right to pick who you want to comfort. It gives us responsibility to provide comfort to the ones that you don't want to provide comfort to. It gives you the responsibility to provide comfort to those who are in what kind of trouble? Only the big ones, right? Does it give you responsibility to provide comfort to only those that are in big trouble? Only those that are facing life and death. What does the Bible say? I got to preach the Bible now. What does the Bible say? Any trouble. It could be the kid that's out of gum. Huh? You ever had a child that's got a boo-boo? Oh, you watch a mama take care of that baby, the boo-boo's going to go away in 10 minutes. You know that. And dads will sometimes, oh, rub some dirt in it, boy. Get on here, come on. You know, get you sissy. Go on. I'm father of the year. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm father of the year. My son has activity-induced asthma. I didn't know that. Apparently, that's what he has. He's running around the football field. It's hot outside, and he comes, can't breathe. I'm sitting there, go on, son. If you was in better shape, you patsy. Get out there, queen. You know, dad's dumb. Goes to the doc. Yeah, he's got activity-induced asthma. Oh. You know what I did? I'm just giving. I minimized his problem. Come on, help me now. I'm trying to help you, son. I minimized his problem. Did it help him? I got him a pocket knife, 1 inch long, little baby thing. He wanted to buy one so bad, he wanted a pocket knife. Every boy ought to have a pocket knife in the school. Sure, I'm dad, I'll get you a pocket knife. Go ahead, pocket knife. You got to have something to carve into trees. You know? That's what they do. He got a pocket knife. Excited about the pocket knife. I'm in my bedroom. I hear this scream. Ah! Whew. Into my room he comes. You ever see your kid hold their hand with this look on their face like it just got cut off? Got a cut on his pinky. It's a good one, too. And I'm sitting there looking at, oh, man, son, how'd you do that? He's, I did it on my knife! I did it on my knife. What kind of dad gets their child a knife? I'm only 8 years old, Dad. What kind of dad allows their child to have a knife like this, a sharp knife? What kind of dad are you? Look at me bleeding now because you got me a knife. Son, it'll be all right. Wrapped it up. Took the knife away from him, and now the knife is in my drawer until he's 12. Apparently 12 is the age you can have a knife. Safely. I don't know what to do, but know this. I didn't minimize his problem. He's gushing blood everywhere. I said, oh, son, let me help you fix it. I'll take the knife away. I'm so sorry. I know what it is. And you know what? That time it helped. Because his problem was big to him. His problem is big. About 220, 5'8". That's his problem. Can't minimize that. Praise the Lord. Maybe putting down this yellow cake might help minimize that. But anyhow, we don't have the opportunity to choose. According to what this Bible says to me, we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. No matter what that trouble might be. You know, Christian, I believe that you become a better Christian when you start to realize the burdens of others. When you start to realize the pains of others. When you start to realize that your problems to you are big, but other people's problems to them are also big. And if you believe that the problem is small, maybe God has brought you along to help them through. By the comfort wherewith I have had my finger cut. Huh? I know what pain that is. I know what it's like to bleed from my finger. I know what my daddy did for me. I wonder if I should do that for my son. Because he's going through a big problem. It's a very easy thought process when we realize that all of this is coming from God. All of these issues are giving us an opportunity. Can you imagine getting an opportunity from the Lord Jesus Christ to do something for Him? An opportunity given to you to be able to help somebody get through a time. I've never gone through a lot of the problems that a lot of folks have gone through. Never gone through them. But I do know this. If I've gone through a problem, I don't suspect it would be surprising if God would bring somebody with the very same problem into my life. It would not surprise me if I were brought to a person that had this very same problem, who in my mind was so big, and this problem was so big. And you might go back and, well, it's not as big anymore because I've gone through it, it's not as big. But to them, it's still big, and you can help them get through that problem. Why? Because you have been going through that same problem yourself. You've come through that same problem, and you can help them come through the way. Why? Because God brought you through. Not that you brought you through. Because God brought you through. God gave you comfort through that. God gave you help through that. And because God gave you help through that, you can use God's help to help somebody else. We as Christians are amazing at getting something wonderful and keeping it. Huh? Well, God, thank you for giving me that great comfort of getting that through that great problem, but I'm not going to help anybody else get through their problem. Huh? Tell me I'm wrong. God, thank you for giving me that great salvation that you gave me. But boy, we have a hard time helping somebody else to get saved. I'm just trying to help us as people understand that the people out there have problems that are big to them. We can't minimize others. The responsibility of offering comfort to one in need is a giant responsibility. God's told you to do it. We're able. We're able. We're able to comfort them because God's given us the ability. I wonder if God wants us to use that responsibility and use that ability. I wonder. Because you know what? As I look throughout my 43 years of life, my problems have gotten bigger. Amen? But they've never gotten bigger than the bigness of the one I'm going through. Can you say amen to that? Because as my 9-year-old son, 8-year-old, father of the year, had a cut on his finger, that was the biggest thing he was going through at the time. And I guarantee you, as he grows older, he'll be able to withstand much greater problems than those. But this still, at that time, the problem he's going through will be the biggest. Is that not true? God, it's like a ladder of problems. The higher you get, the bigger they get, but you can still climb over them if you rely on God to help you. And wouldn't it be nice to have somebody underneath giving you a little goose? Go. You can do it. You can get through. Or a guy at the top of the ladder reaching down. Come on up. You can do it. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll help you up. I'll help you. Why? Because that's what Christ did for you. He helped you up. So why don't we help others up? Instead of taking the ladder and going... Now get up and do right. It's because of your sin you're laying there. Help me, Christian. I'm asking you. Review our lives. The responsibility we have as Christians is giant. Because I got to admit, there's people in this room that are going through things. If you'd be honest, you'd be able to admit that too. You might be able to put your hand up and even say you're one of them. Christian, be observant. You've been given comfort by God, and I'm all done. You've been given freely, freely. God doesn't put a price on this. He gives it to us freely, freely, free comfort. We have a responsibility to pass that on to others. Responsibility you ought not keep to yourself. How good is God? How good is God that He allows us to go through things? It's changed your whole thinking, doesn't it? He allows us to go through things so that someday we may be the one standing on the ladder helping somebody else up through them. There's no greater gratification. There is none. There's none. There's no greater gratification than helping another Christian through what you just went through. Never. What a responsibility. The responsibility of offering comfort. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the comfort that you give us constantly. Your mercy endureth forever, Lord. You've given us so many things. Lord, help us to be able to bear one another's burdens, to help each other. Lord, you've made a way to escape for everyone that goes through any temptation. You made the way to escape. But Lord God, I often wonder if we aren't the ones that are holding the door shut so people can't escape. I often wonder if we aren't the ones that are tripping or putting stumbling blocks in their way of the way to escape. Lord God, help us to clear the path. Help us to open the doors. Help us to help each other to escape the temptations and to escape the tribulations that they're going through. Help us, Lord, to look on others. Help us, Lord, to see each other's problems as big. Big problems that we can help. Lord, so many times I've been helped throughout the past. I've been helped financially. I've been helped spiritually. I've been helped with prayer. There's so many times that people have helped me throughout the years. Lord God, don't let me be selfish with that. Lord, let me pass it on to others. Because Lord God, we're all having a tough time. So I wonder if we shouldn't help each other. Oh God, please let us help each other. Let us stand up for each other instead of standing against each other. Lord God, let us look to other problems. Let us look to give them comfort. Because, Lord, we sure could use some ourselves some days. And we're going to need that. We're going to need it from somebody. So, Lord, let us pay it forward. Let us kind of put a deposit into our account. Help us to do that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, I know that I know that I know that the biggest problem that I ever faced in my life was the problem of going to hell forever. The biggest problem that I've ever faced and will ever face is the problem that my sin and the wages thereof is death. The biggest problem I've ever faced is the fact that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And when I faced that problem, I came to the realization that the greatest helper, the greatest comforter of the whole wide world is Jesus Christ. And He reached down and He said, I'm going to save you today. And I asked Him to, and He came into my heart. And boy, He solved that problem. And I'm so thankful that my Savior didn't look down at this old world and minimize our problem. I'm so glad He made it big. And He solved it in a big way. I know that I know, 100% sure, that if I were to die right now, that I would go to heaven to be with the Lord. I've accepted Him as Savior. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? Real big and tall. I don't see any hands that aren't raised, but I'll still ask. You may put them down. I'm going to say, preacher, I don't know. 100% sure that if I died right now that I would go to heaven, and that's a problem. And it is a big problem, biggest you'll ever face. But know this, that great comforter, that wonderful comforter, that wonderful comforter that can fix that problem, He'll save you. He's still in the saving business. And if you'd like me to pray for you, or you'd like to come up and get saved, could you put your hand up? I'm not sure, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Would there be one like that today? But I'm not sure, but I sure would like to know that I'm talking to Christians. And Christians, we have a big responsibility. We have the responsibility to comfort one another, to care about one another, not minimize, but maximize the opportunity to help. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the honor and opportunity that it was to preach today. Lord God, help me to see these things. Lord, I fail at this so often. Lord God, help me to not fail. Help me to see each problem and not minimize it, but help. And Lord God, I thank You for giving me that comfort over and over and over again. Oh God, You're so good. Help me to be able to give that comfort too. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.